Greetings, this is Pastor Thomas A. DeLoach, and this episode is brought to you by To Empower You, a podcast dedicated to helping young adults and young couples achieve their goals and dreams from a biblical context. Hello, and thank you for tuning in to To Empower You. I am your host, Thomas A. DeLoach, and I'm so glad that you've decided to connect with me once again for these few moments in time. And on today's show, I want to talk about better than average. This is a teaching podcast, so go and grab your Bibles and take some notes if that's what you desire to do. I have a really good show for you today. As always, we start our show off with a quote of the day, and it goes like this: living a life consecrated to God's purposes transforms the ordinary into the extraordinary, the mundane into the sacred, and the fleeting into the eternal. Now let's look here in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. This is a familiar passage of scripture for me, but I'm going to use this as my launching pad today. Notice what it says here: but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. I really like this passage here because, especially the first sentence, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth or lives inside of you. When I think about this particular passage, I think about the realities of having Christ, the power of the anointing, living inside of me. That if in fact the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me, what could actually keep me down? I want you to think about that. If you got the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, what actually can defeat you? I'm gonna come away with an answer that you just got to come away with, and that is nothing. Nothing can keep you down when you really have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Sometimes when we read our Bible, we don't put ourselves there, but I want you to do that and think about Romans 8:11. If you are a Christian, you read your Bible, you love God, I want you to think about this for a moment. If Christ lives in you, you got the greatest power on the planet. Nothing can keep you down. So I titled this show Better Than Average because when I think of average, I just think of mediocrity. And we got a lot of people that are mediocre out here. They just are doing enough to get by. They refuse to even see what extraordinary is, excellent is. They refuse to go to the next level to even see if there is another dimension beyond mediocrity. And so when I think about this, this has to be a mindset for all of us in 2024 and moving forward. You cannot, with the power that Jesus has invested in you, you have to refuse to be average. There's nothing that we can do to merit what the Lord has done for us. He said, I'm going to gift you. I'm going to give you this spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And with this power, it's going to quicken your mortal bodies. In other words, you're going to turn into a superhero. Your super is going to be beyond what you ever thought it could be. And again, this is not a working after the will. This is a working of the spirit. And so our spirit should always be on supercharge because it has the ability to quicken our mortal body. Even when I think about better than average, I'm thinking about sports athletes. Generally in the off season, especially now, since football is over, these guys are going to take a break and then they're going to get back at it again. And if they have a trainer, that trainer is going to say to them, this is how many tackles you got. This is how many receptions you got. This is how many blocks you made. And they say, hey, man, we got to be better than this. We got to be better than the average football player out here. Because if you are better than average in the sports entertaining world, you're going to get more money. So there's some advantages for sports athletes to beat their average or to beat others' average. In other words, you don't ever hear a football, basketball, sports athlete talk about just being average. No, they want to be better than average. They want to be great. They want to be exceptional. They want to be better than the guys that they play with, most certainly the guys that they're playing against on Sunday or whenever they play their games. And so when we think about God and what he has invested inside of us, we most certainly, when I say better, I'm not talking about we think we better than people. But what I am saying to you is that we don't go about our business the way everybody does. So here's the question that I want to ask you today, because when I talk about better than average, I really want to talk to you about your personal holiness. Yeah, personal holiness, which is a message we don't talk about, but a message that is should be important to us because I know it is important to God. So here's two questions that I want to ask you. Does it matter how I live? Does it? Am I just allowed to live like everybody else? If I got the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, does it matter how I live? And do I have to be better than the average person walking around here? And again, I want to say yes, only because of this scripture. If this scripture was not in the Bible, I would say, hey, listen, man, go ahead and just continue to say, you know, I'm like everybody else. You know, there's nothing special about me, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm telling you, there is something special about you because Christ lives there. When Christ lives inside of you, there is something different about you. You are not this person that everybody else is. And this is what I hope I'm getting you to see. I'm praying that you're going to have an aha moment right now. Because again, if the Lord lives inside of you, why are you settling for average? Why are you settling for the mundane? Why are you settling for sickness and disease? Why are you settling for poverty? You're going to have to take your ear out of the world and place your ear to the mouth of God so he can tell you who you are, so you can stop settling, so that you can do greater works. I think the Lord said this. He said, and greater works shall you do. And we read these scriptures, we say amen to it, we give a verbal response to it. But when we leave the church or we leave our office or we leave our study time with God, we just settle right into average. We just settle right into mediocrity. Our personal holiness and how we live, we don't even give that a consideration. And again, I am saying to you, this is possible because of who lives inside, because he influences us to be better. He influences us to be greater. He influences us to be exceptional. However many people you reached last year for Christ, double it, triple it. Whatever it is that you did in service to God, double it, triple it. Just like that baseball player. If he had 30 RBIs, he said, nah, that's average. We're going to double that this year. I refuse to have Christ living inside of me. I don't want his suffering to be for naught. The blood that Jesus shed for me got to be more than just a story that we read on Resurrection Sunday. But I want that same power, and we have it, and we possess it. Quickly, I want to give you, if I can, because I think this is something that is key here, I want to give you seven elements to this. But before I do, I think it's important that I even share with you what personal holiness is when we talk about better than average. Personal holiness refers to the state of being set apart and dedicated to God, characterized by purity, righteousness, and moral integrity in one's heart, in one's words, most certainly in one's actions. It involves living in accordance with God's commandments and striving for spiritual maturity and sanctification. Personal holiness encompasses various aspects of the believer's life, again, including their relationship with God, their interaction with others, and their conduct in the world. It involves continually seeking to align one's attitude and behaviors with the character of God as revealed in Scripture. So if I can baseline this, bottom line this, Christ became you so you could become him in this world. So he said, I'm going to do you a favor. I never ask you to do something you can't do. So I'm going to become you so you could become me in this world, because I want you to have the same results, Jesus is saying, that I had. That's why I said greater works. Think about the stuff that Jesus did, the miracles that he did. He's actually saying you can do greater than that. But we settle for average. We settle for just come see, come sigh. We just settle and we say, well, I'm only human. And yes, we know you, flesh and blood, but Jesus was too. Others that did extraordinary things in the Bible, they were flesh and blood too, but they had the Spirit of God on them and living inside of them. And may I say this to you? We should be doing greater than those in the Old Testament, because we're living up under a better covenant. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, not just on us, but living inside of us. So let me circle back around again. I want to give you, and you may want to write these down, I want to give you seven key elements of personal holiness so we can be better than average. And I want you, as I give these seven, I want you to ask yourself this question: is this something that I'm doing? If it's not, it's something I need to consider doing, because it's these little boring little sentences I'm going to read to you that you probably are not interested in is the reason why you cannot become or have it become Christ to the world in demonstration. And this is what we called to do as Christians. We ain't just called to go to church and sit on these padded pews and just hear a message. We are called to become the message. We are called to embody the message. We are called to take the message of Christ and manifest his power to those that are sick, to those that are weak, to those that are in trouble, to those who have no purpose, to those who have no hope, to those who have no destiny. And when they come to us and when they see us, watch this, they want to be better than average. All right, here's number one: purity of heart. Do you maintain a sincere and genuine devotion to God? Are you maintaining a freedom from hypocrisy and hidden sin? I'm asking you this question today. Are you maintaining this? Are you maintaining your devotion to God? Do you have a true devotion to the Lord, or are you playing games? Are you free from hypocrisy? You know what hypocrisy is: saying one thing, doing the other, judging someone else when you're doing the same thing. Do you have hidden sin in your life, stuff that you know that you shouldn't be doing, that's eclipsing your power, that's draining your anointing, that's draining your influence with your friends? Are you doing what they do because you're afraid to stand up and stand out? If so, we got to fix this. Purity of heart is true to God. It's got to be true to us. Number two, righteous living. Do you practice honesty, integrity, and justice in all acts of life? Or are you always trying to scam, run a game, run amok most of the time? Are you trying to hustle your way through life? Or are you actually practicing righteous living? Do you think it's important to reflect God's righteousness? Now, if he became you so you could become him, he took your filthy rags of unrighteousness and gave you and imputed to you his righteousness, meaning that I'm in right standing with God. And because I'm in right standing with God, I operate in this on a day-to-day basis. I don't live like everybody else because what's in me is greater than everybody else. This is what I'm talking about when we say righteous living. Number three, I'm almost done. Obedience to God's word is my question. Do you consistently seek to obey God's commandments and follow his will, guided by the teaching in scripture? Or are you that kind of Christian who reads your Bible, but you're not planning on doing anything that's in there? Yeah, you go to church. Yeah, you say amen. Yeah, you sing in the choir. Yeah, you're a doorkeeper. But as soon as you leave outside of that door, you put on a whole nother costume and say, well, that's just something I do on Sunday. But you know it's Monday. I'm just going to drop right back into regular living. Do you really care about obeying what God said? Does his word mean anything to you? If you're not reading his word, most certainly you ain't going to practice it. Most certainly you're not going to follow after what he is saying. Is this what's happening with you? Do you have an obedience to God's word? Number four, spiritual disciplines. Do you engage in spiritual practices? Let's talk about them. Prayer. Do you pray? I'm not asking you, do you beg God for things? That's not prayer. When we talk about prayer, we're talking about communicating with your boss, with the lover of your soul. Do you check in with him daily in prayer? I'm not talking about asking him for things, because at the highest level of prayer, we don't ask. You know why? Because we know our needs are met. But we simply check in with him and say, Lord, I just want to let you know I love you. Lord, I just want you to know how much you mean to me. Lord, I'm just checking in to see if is there anything you want me to do today? Holy Spirit, is there any way you want me to, do you need to lead me to minister to this one or help that one? I'm just checking in to see what you want me to do. See, that's prayer. Prayer, again, is communication. Do you even think it's important to communicate with God? Do you meditate on his word? That's a spiritual practice and a discipline in church or in God, with your relationship with Jesus. Do you meditate? Do you imagine what it would be like to lay hands on the sick and see them recover? Do you meditate and imagine walking in prosperity, so when God tells you to write that check to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can do it? When we meditate over and over and over and over again until we become what he said we could be. Do you worship? Do you spend some private time with God and just worship? We're not talking about asking him for anything. We're not talking about praising him for what he's done. I'm talking about worship, where I just worship and say, Lord, you are wonderful. You are great. You are special to me. Without you, I can't do it. Without you, I would fall. I want you to know how honored I am that you saved me and you raised me and you filled me and you helped me. A lifestyle of worship. Do you do that? Are you desiring to deepen your walk with God and grow in your personal holiness? Or do you just say, well, that's just enough? I'm doing enough to get by. Don't ask me to do nothing else. I'm not interested in doing anything else. This is it. This is that. That's all, folks. Is that you? Number five, the fruit of the Spirit. Here's one. Do you cultivate the fruit of the Spirit? When we talk about cultivate, we talk about growing it. Not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Watch this. Which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control as evidence of the transformed and sanctified life. Are you working on growing these areas? Most believers are not. Most believers are lazy. But again, if you're going to be better than average, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, when we're talking about personal holiness, are you working to cultivate love in your life? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Or do you just blow up at the drop of a dime and say, I'm only human. They got what's coming in to them. They made me mad. We got to work on personal holiness. I'm almost done. I got two more. Separation from sin. Do you avoid sinful behaviors and influences that hinder spiritual growth and compromise one's witness for Christ? Do you put yourself in situations where you know you're going to fall, where you know you're going to fail? When you're out with others, friends, family, and they're ordering wine and beer and getting drunk, you know, well, I don't want to be left out, so you get involved too. Yet they're looking at you saying you're supposed to be Mr. or Mrs. Christian. Why are you partaking in this? Have you killed your testimony at work because of your mouth? We're talking about personal holiness. We're talking about personal responsibility. We're talking about being better than average. Yes, we know you're human. We all are. But we don't take an occasion to sin just because we're having a weak moment. I get it. I understand. But we don't want to cause the person to stumble. And it's the same person we're trying to witness to. Because can I tell you this? The greatest witness is not what you say with your mouth, it's how you live your life. That's the greatest compliment that you can get from an unbeliever. When they say to you, you know what, if I ever do or decide to become a Christian, I will because of what I see in you. I'm telling you, people have blown their testimony, blown their influence, blown their witness, just blown up the spot simply because they don't want to separate from the thing that would cause their testimony to be laughed at. You say one thing, you do another. And I am saying to you, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us, there's no reason at all why we should be doing what the world is doing. The world has nothing to offer me. Here's the last one, and I'm done. Consecration to God. Do you surrender your entire life and what God's purposes is to the point where you are allowing the Holy Spirit to work within you purity and transformation and empowering you for holy living? Is that an important thing for you? Because see, after I'm called, I gotta now consecrate my life to God so that he can pour through me his power to transform my life. So when other people look at me, they say, man, you different. You are not the same. It's consecration. We have to consecrate. We've got to separate our life to the one that died for us and called us into this marvelous light. And it is marvelous. I want you to think about these seven things about personal holiness, about being better than average. And I want you to judge yourself accordingly with these things. There's more that I could share, but these seven, in my opinion, these are mine, right? You could come up with your own if you have some more. You could add to this list if that's what you want to. But if you knew nothing of this subject or you did, I want you to take a look at my list and say, you know what? This is why I'm not better than average. This is why I am average. This is why I haven't gone to the next level. This is why things just continue to circle, go around in my life, because I hadn't thought about purity of heart. I haven't thought about righteous living. I haven't really given consideration to obedience to God's word. or any kind of spiritual disciplines. It never crossed my mind about the fruit of the Spirit and that I got to cultivate it. I never thought about separation from sin. Yeah, I heard about it, but I never really took a deep dive into it and avoid compromising situations that will influence others to look at me differently. I never thought about consecration to God, but I'm going to think about it. Personal holiness is a lifelong journey. It really is. It's a lifelong journey of growth and transformation that will embody and enable you by the grace of God, that the Holy Spirit will work inside of you so that you can pursue with humility, watch this, a dependence on God's strength and a continually desire to reflect the character and the nature of Christ in every area of your life. I want you to consider being better than average in your personal holiness and walk with God. Well, that's all that I wanted to share with you today. I hope this lesson blessed you. If it did, shoot me an email. Please do it today at info@thomasadeloach.com. info@thomasadeloach.com. Do that so that I can hear your testimony of how this is blessing you and helping you. If this is your first time listening to me, thank you so much. I don't know how you found me, but I'm glad you did. And let's stay connected. I want you to consider going to my website so you can know a little bit more about me and my advocacy. And you can do this at thomasadeloach.com. Do it now. I'm praying for you, man. Believe in God's best for you. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you just keep walking with God, He'll keep walking with you and help you to become all that He has desired you to be. And remember, until next time, to be empowered.
Thank you for listening to my show, To Empower You. If you were blessed, inspired, and encouraged, please send me a praise report, prayer requests, or show ideas to info@thomasadeloach.com. And follow me on Instagram @thomasadeloach and Facebook @DrThomasAdeloach. And remember, you can go to my website anytime at www.thomasadeloach.com. Until next time, be empowered.